righty, here we go. Up comes that wooden wagon. Look at it. Let it in. Open the door. Here it comes. I love the fact that, like, about 3 years ago, we got those diapers for the horses that they have. And then we got the diapers. Sean put them on, but no one ever took them off. And they are full, and they drag onto the carpet. But no one ever says anything. People don't care anymore because no one goes into that studio other than Jacob's in there. And there's the teeny tiny lady. She's sitting there in the wagon. And, oh, look, this is sweet. This is nice. Rachel's got nothing better to do. Let's listen in.
What seems to be the problem?
Every year I have a cartoon reaction where my eyes pop out and I go, auga, and steam come out of my ear. And
oh, my.
That's right. Oh, Teeny's back. Choosing the letter of the day. Is it going to be you? That's right. Write to us. Write to us, mynorthwest.com. Or text as well. Come on into the State Roofing text line at 98973. Look forward to hearing from you. You could be letter of the day as chosen by the easy guys. Easy. Putting the teeny tiny lady up on the bar stool there. She'll tap on the glass telling Jacob which story or which letter she wants to have to be letter of the day. Ooh, this news just broke. FBI are investigating Cuomo over the nursing home death cover-up scandal. Well, that's good news. Let's get that guy out of there. All right, Tom, other news to get to, the other breaking news that comes to us. These are stories that we didn't get a chance to cover earlier, and I'm trying to find the first one. Jacob, which one did you put into the top spot right there for us? Danny West needs peace. Regarding the fact that how frustrating it is for people to try to get on COVID-19 vaccine hunters, I saw President Biden say yesterday, well, you know, if you're Hispanic, you probably can't figure it out. Or if you live in the inner city, you probably can't figure out how to get online. Or maybe you can figure out, and it's just really hard. So some Microsoft guys and some other tech people, like, they took a look at the system, like, this is horrible. The one guy said he had how many browsers open or something, trying to get on and make an appointment for his mom. And then they're like, you know what, let's construct our own. So they, with I don't know how much money, they're like, we'll build our own. It'll be a heck of a lot better. And so they've been able to work on that. It's not available yet, but just goes to show you that within a few short hours, also I think one guy was a high school student or something like that, or in college.
No. He went to Lake Washington.
I went to Lake Washington, right. But they're building a website that basically would allow you to make an appointment to go get your vaccines.
Yeah, so one of the problems about the outlay here is that every organization or store or medical center has their own kind of hoops you have to jump through in order to get on them. And as soon as you jump through all that hoops, then you get the frustration of, oh, well, there are no sites open. So what these guys decided to do was come up there, four or five of them. The reason that Danny Westney's writing about this is similar to my situation, trying to find one for my 90-year-old mother. He has a 91-year-old father, and he was talking about, you know, what a pain in the neck it is to find the places where you can get the vaccine to set yourself up. And so he profiles these, as he calls them, vaccine hunters, who've devised, it's a kind of a system, an app, that does what people who want to find concert tickets do, which is they constantly are, like, refreshing, and they're always looking at all the various sites. So if there's a ticket that suddenly becomes available, they can snatch it. And so they have these robots, they're called screen scrapers, that troll 330 vaccine websites to search for available appointments. And as soon as they do that, then something pops up. And they said, this is a much more efficient way than individually each of us, you know, Paige, my wife and I, trying to figure out a way to get my mom. Okay, well, now let's go to University of Washington. Now let's try Safeway. Now let's do this and do that. And so he says he went through the system, and he says, yeah, it works great. The problem is the only two spots that had any appointments available was one, I think, in Oak Harbor, and the other was in Kennewick. This is in the entire state. So the problem, he says, is now the scanning system, that app, can actually work, but there's not the supply of vaccines isn't there yet. So this is kind of a preview article. The system is up and running. It's just so few hits they get because there's just not enough vaccine. So maybe in a week or two or in a month or two, these things will be able to, and it's so much nicer if you can just go to one spot and sign up, and then they'll do the searching for you and let you know when it's available. That is going to be great when the vaccines are in plentiful supply.
There was an interesting piece in Bloomberg. They looked at the number of vaccines that had been sent and then the number that are sitting on shelves and then the number that get injected into the arm. And they say there's like 17 million or something that's just sitting. They're like, why not? Why? They're missing. They go into this sort of black box. They're not able to track the inventory somehow. In some cases, they say, well, we'll send you the second one and the second one will be reserved for that person that's coming in. And then that gets into the whole problem of, well, why not just give everybody the first shot and then second wave, all of it coming in the second one. Yesterday, Joe Biden, President Biden was on CNN, did a town hall, and he said when he got there, there was no vaccines. And then later on, that's not what I meant. That no, that's not what he meant. They're not starting from scratch. It's in place. It's going. I think they're up to 1.7 million people being vaccinated every single day now in the United States. On December 15th, it was about a million something. So they've been able to move it up about 700,000. So eventually they'll really get cranking on all of this. The big question for people is whether or not to Joe Biden yesterday on the CNN thing that they had.
Town hall.
The town hall. Were the questions pre-screened for him? Do you know? Is that they normally like to do that. Did they do that or were they just coming in wildfire from Anderson?
I don't know about that. I would assume they were not screened, but I don't know.
All right. Well, here we are. This idea is when Biden talks about COVID, when everybody will get the vaccine. And hold on. Hang on. Jeez. It's a two-part process.
When is every American who wants it going to be able to get a vaccine?
By the end of July of this year. We came into office, there was only 50 million doses that are available. We have now, by the end of July, we'll have over 600 million doses, enough to vaccinate every single American.
Okay.
Now, first off, right off,
they were vaccinating almost a million people. You had a goal of a million a day, and they were already doing almost a million a day. So the 50 million, it doesn't matter how many are sitting in reserve. They're ordering more. They're going to have up to 600. But it's not how many you order. It's how many end up getting injected. Right, Tom?
Yes. Don't you think so? I would assume. I think we've been hearing more optimistic vision. When I heard him say that, I go, oh, wow. So that really isn't until the end of summer. I keep hearing these things about, oh, that more and more will be available. I thought that the answer to that would be sooner than it is. I think it's probably a smart political move on his part to set it there because that that gives us at least 6 months to kind of get there. But again, 600 million, I think the question that we normally hear is everybody who wants it, how soon will they be able to get it? That wasn't the question. This is 600 million is two doses for if they're like 330 million in this country. That's basically two doses for everybody, even whether they want it or not. So that's a good, I think that's a smart kind of moderate guess on their part that yes, that anybody who wants it will certainly should be able to get it by the end of July, but not necessarily sooner. Right now, there are a lot more people that want it that can get it.
If you knew you weren't going to die of it, and very few do if you're under the age and you don't have second complicating conditions, I think you just pass on it. The same way only 40% of people pass
entirely?
On the flu shot. Pretty good chance of getting the flu, but 40% pass on the flu shot. 40%, it's 40% or 43% of the people get the flu shot. Everybody else is like, I'll run the risk, right? And I guess the run the risk on this thing as well, that it'll get to a certain point that after a while, like, I don't feel the need to get one. I'm 58 years old. I'm in
at ever.
Knock wood. Yeah, at ever. I'm not going to sign up.
Okay.
Why do I need to? I've looked at the numbers, the chances of me dying of the thing, and let somebody else have it. If you're concerned, go get it.
But no, I know. I think
I'm not in a rush to go get it.
I have no problem with people not in a rush. The question is, would you not want it at all, especially if you've got variants that are more concerning? But even so,
if I had some other problems, if 40% of Americans have some other sort of secondary condition that's going to mean they got to get it. Tom, eventually, I believe we're at herd immunity or closer to herd immunity. I look at the study from CDC in August that said it's 20 times the number of cases that are not reported. At that point, they said about 9 million people, 9 million cases. CDC said it could be 20 times that number. If it's 20 times
that
number,
it could be, but it could also not be.
It could not be, right. But more likely it is because so many people are asymptomatic. symptomatic. So then the thing is, how long till herd immunity? If we say 75 or 80, I don't mean the Fauci's last lie, but 75 or 80 to get to herd immunity, I assume you getting vaccinated and someone else getting vaccinated, thanks a lot, I'll be what they call a free rider.
And why?
I mean, why wouldn't you get it? I don't. Why? I don't know. To get online, I mean, just to sign up.
Just to reach herd immunity. Because I guess the only way I could try to convince you that you feel like you don't need it for your own personal reasons is if you got a shot, you might prevent somebody else who isn't in as good shape as you are from getting it and having things turn serious for them.
Right. But very, very small chance that I'm going to infect somebody. It's infinitesimal.
Well, yeah, the more of us that get the vaccine, that's definitely
true. Right. I'm going to free ride. When will things get back to normal, Mr. President?
They're saying somewhere around 70% of the people have to constitute. Some people said 50, 60, but a significant number have to be in a position where they are. They have been vaccinated and or they've been through it and
have antibodies.
And so if that works that way, as my mother would say, with the grace of God and the goodwill of the neighbors, that by next Christmas, I think we'll be in a very different circumstance, God willing, than we are today.
Christmas. Wow. That really is a long time.
Well, give yourself that way. So then when all of a sudden it succeeds in
May, if it does,
you can have the mainstream media say, see that? He's so much better than Donald Trump. Speaking of Trump, what was the sign on the yard there in Skagit County, Tom? Was it a Culp sign that somebody had on the yard?
Yes, it was a Lauren Culp sign.
Here's Kyler 7
with needed proof of just how divided this country is, we'll just consider what happened at this home. A murder investigation over politics.
Never want to see someone just get dead right by your house.
Especially over a sign for an election.
Deputies say the homeowner here originally thought two people were trying to steal his mail, but when he got closer, they say he believed they were really after his Lauren Culp campaign sign. Investigators say that set off a confrontation.
At some point during this altercation, his 55-year-old wife came outside of the residence, fired multiple rounds from a gun, and the female was struck.
Cairo 7 learned this woman, Angela Conine, is a suspect of the shooting. These pictures posted by her place of employment show her in better times. Tonight, she is facing possible second-degree murder charges. Authorities for sure have seen fights over political signs, but it rarely leads to something like this.
So, and to that standpoint, it's not that unusual, but to have gunfire rupture after a fight, that's, I haven't seen it before.
Okay. There's a video that's online last week, I think it was in New York or Pennsylvania, and the two neighbors are fighting over plowing the driveway. The guy plowed the driveway and pushed some snow into the other guy's driveway. The other guy got mad, then they got into a fight. And then they're beating each other up, and I think the wife went in and got a gun. Same situation, shot and killed the guy.
Jesus,
so it's like
really?
We're fighting over snow, fighting over signs. It's not about the politics. It's a fight over whatever the fight is. It's second degree because it wasn't premeditated, right? It just boils over. Somebody hurts somebody's dog. Somebody gets a gun and shoots the guy. I mean, it's just what happens.
Well, yeah, but it shouldn't happen. It's horrible.
No, it shouldn't. There's a lot of stuff that shouldn't happen, but I mean...
I know. And this is just an example of how horrible
things can get. I don't think it's divided. Right. I don't think it's divided. I think it's just the people can be quick to anger, or at least it's a boiling... You reach your boiling point. The two people I watched it on... I can't believe it's up online. They show you the whole thing. It's horrible in wherever that is.
Not this one.
Not this one. They shoot each other right there in the driveway. It's all on somebody's camera. But, yeah, that's what happens. It's awful. But people, there's the great story about this genie appears to this one guy and says to him, I'll grant one wish for you, but realize whatever I wish for you, I'm going to also give twice as much to your neighbor. And the man says, fine, take out my eye.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
Is that a story you tell around the campfire?
That's like that one.
Oh, God, that's horrible. But memorable, horrible. John.
Thank you, Tom. You said in the pre-show meeting, it's awful that somebody would shoot somebody over a yard sign.
Or, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, so you have to ask the two people involved. And again, we're basing this on those few details that are given. So there may be other things that change the context. Did they know each other? All this, because we don't know. But just given the context, there are two questions you have to ask. First off, is that woman who's now sitting in jail facing a possible charge of manslaughter, does she think it was worth it? My hunch is she probably regrets it. And if we could bring the woman back who was apparently stealing the sign, would you, if you could ask her, is it worth risking your life to steal the sign? I'm sure she would say, heck no. But right now, we're dealing with the woman who killed the other woman, which seems like more of an overreaction than somebody who was, if indeed she was stealing a sign, Just a horrible situation.
You thought so much of your property that you were willing to take that person's life. And then you could say, well, the thief felt so little of his life that he was willing to risk it for my property.
Except that I think most thieves, if that's a fair characterization, do not think they're risking their life. Taking somebody, if you really are stealing someone's sign from their yard, I don't think the calculation is, oh, this is worth my life. Because I don't think that woman is justified in doing that. Again, knowing the few circumstances, the few details about this particular case.
Right. So at what point will, if they went into the person's house and stole item A, B, C, and D, then it's like, well, then it's worth, then the person should shoot and kill me for it.
Well, the thing is, because you could claim your life was in danger. I suspect. You can kill, isn't that the rule? Again, this is just general knowledge. I think if somebody's in your house, you have the right to shoot them. But if they're outside and or leaving, you don't. That you'd have
King
to
Castle,
have them.
Yeah. King Castle like rule that as a friend of mine who's a terrible person, but someone I know as a friend, said if you shoot the person, make sure they fall inside your doorway. God, thanks for that advice. Oh, by the way, also, if the genie appears, ask them to take your eye out because it'll do twice as much your neighbor. It's good time radio for everybody. There's some news you can use. Gee whiz. All right. Brighten things up for us, Tracy Taylor. What do you got out there? Something fun and happy. What do you got? All righty, everybody. Oh, look at a teeny tiny lady. Very, very excited. Tapping on that glass, Jacob arguing with her. Arguments all the time about which letter should be letter of the day. Writing to us at mynorthwest.com. Texting as well. 98973. I defended you, Tom. Somebody on the Facebook, the messenger thing, said something nasty. I said, don't do that. Don't. Tom loves all.
That's right. What are they mad at me about?
Because it doesn't matter. Liberals and conservatives and who's meaner. It's like Tom sees the good in everybody.
There you go.
Because everybody was stuck inside and they couldn't go to classes and all the workouts got closed, your bike, what's it called again?
Peloton.
The Peloton bike has become the thing for people. And the fact that the Peloton bike is a stationary bike, plus in front of you is a screen, and they basically sell you the bike for like $3,000. So you'll give them the razors, sell them the blades. In this case, they're charging you $3,000 for the razors and then something for the blades. They make the money on you signing up for the class. You get on the thing, and it's like, oh, hey, everybody, here we go. And they can see who's in the class. They can see how many rides you've been on. The Peloton instructor is normally very fit and very vivacious, male or female. They're just getting warmed up, and they're going. They're extremely supportive of everybody. They're always positive. They kind of tease you a little bit, you know, give you a hard time. But, you know, they make for, like, the perfect boyfriend or girlfriend if you want somebody who's in incredible shape, better shape than you're in. That would be a nice mate to have.
Yes. Now, one point of clarification. Do these Peloton instructors see you, or do they just see your name or whatever?
They just see your name, and they can see how many rides you've been on. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Can you imagine if they had a camera and they could see everybody? No, it's like they'll be riding like, All right, here we go, everybody. We're going to do such and such ride today. And hey, Tom, congratulations on your 5,000th ride. And they'll call you out like in the middle of the ride. They can call you out and get you going. What's wrong?
I was wondering if there was a chance that there was a two-way street here, but it clearly isn't. They only see you as, you know, whatever your avatar, your nickname is or something. And so there's this great article about how, I think the symbol for a lot of people of this last year of the pandemic is the Peloton bike, because it's an example of how people want to work out and they can't go to their gyms. It's like that one-on-one relationship. They say, we are all starved for companionship. Well, here's the one new person in your life is your Peloton instructor, who is doing nothing but getting the best out of you and complimenting you and encouraging you.
Yep.
That people by the droves are on social media admitting they're all in love with their Peloton instructors. They say, it's nothing kinky. It's nothing transgressive. It's just that they have, in effect, that Peloton instructor has become the avatar for all that they want in the world that they don't have access to because of the COVID-19. And I thought it's very winning and true. So this article interviews the instructors. Are you guys aware of the fact that you are becoming the object of adulation? And they say, it's impossible not to acknowledge that. And they say, but they don't want to discourage that as much as they understand that they don't know us, you know, at all. They only know us in that one particular thing, because their job is to inspire. And so you don't want to say, hey, you know, whatever your name is, you know, Jim 13, listen, you don't have a chance with me personally. You don't want to do that. So they don't mind the adulation as long as it's kept in the virtual sphere, which it almost has to be.
I've done a couple of the rides, and it never gets like, hey, check this out, or get your booty hard, or, you know, they don't really do much of that sort of stuff. It is all about, like, getting the tension and digging deep and finding yourself and where's that inner strength. And it's that kind of inspirational poster. You know you've made it when Saturday Live's
good. Okay, Peloton, let's go!
Only Peloton delivers 24-7 nonstop motivation from world-class instructors right in your home.
You smashed it!
But what if you're the kind of person who doesn't respond to encouragement?
You did this!
If I hear the phrase, you can do it, I literally won't, just to prove a point.
If anyone yells that I can do one more, I will immediately get off this thing, unplug it, and go smoke.
I cannot be cheerleaded. I know myself.
For those people, we introduce Peloton. The only exercise bike that provides you with personalized, at-home negative reinforcement and relentless criticism.
Ready to do this?
No.
I don't give a to get paid either way.
Hey, I guess I could do a little bit. Look. Come back.
Using patented passive aggression, each Peloton instructor will pull from a toolkit of emotional manipulation styles guaranteed to get even the laziest cyclist moving. Techniques such as snotty disdain.
Really nice big t-shirt. Do you wear that to swim?
No.
Well, thanks for wearing it here.
Insincere praise.
Okay, Susan, I know you just had a baby, so go at your own pace.
What? I didn't have a baby.
Oh, are you sure you didn't?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe one day.
There you go. There wasn't the gym. There was a gym in Seattle. Didn't last long, Tom. Listen to this. When you sign up and you pay a lot of money for the workout, they would give you a goal. What's your goal? I want to lose 50 pounds and I want to be able to bench press 200 pounds. Okay, fine. And they put down the goal. And then after 2 months or whatever, if you didn't hit your goal, they would ask you to leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We did a story on it. The guy goes, yeah, it's fairly aggressive, but we feel it makes people accountable. And what their theory was is that you would leave, go work out somewhere else, and then come back, sign up, and be like, check this out. I think they lasted about, how long did I say they took till they threw people out? 3 months? I think they lasted about 3 months, because people were like, really? I didn't make my goal? Okay, goodbye. And then they left.
You know, I can imagine, especially since they say companionship is what we're most after, if we feel cut off from people, that you become attached to this person, because they say they're constantly in your life. They're always giving you words of encouragement. I had something similar, not in any kind of, friendship way, but I remember when I was a grad student, if you're a grad student at the University of Washington, you have access to the dental school, and so the students need mouths to practice, and I had to have my wisdom teeth out, and so they did one wisdom tooth a quarter. So, you know, it took an entire year. Usually you get all your wisdom teeth out at once, but I could do it relatively cheaply, and I didn't have a lot of money at the time. So I did this, and so I lived through this traumatic experience over the course of a year, and I really felt at the end of that that I had a connection with that dentist, and he didn't know me from Adam. I was just a mouth to him, but he had been my companion for four traumatic moments. It doesn't mean anything. Just like this is a Peloton thing. They don't know you from Adam, and it's a good thing, probably.
But wait a minute. So you were risking the pain and the discomfort and possible infection and bone loss. You're going to trust somebody? I guess he's got somebody standing over his shoulder, right?
Yes. They're like, all medical students, and so you have the, you know, you have real dentists, checking their work and all that. And you know, a lot of, when you're a grad student, you don't have a lot of money, and so this is a way to cut corners, because it's expensive to, you know, pay for getting your wisdom teeth out. So, anyway, it was worth it to me.
4 years.
No, not 4 years. Four quarters.
No, four quarters. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just they took one tooth out each quarter. So, you know, fall quarter, winter quarter. But anyway, because of that, it was like a much longer experience. So I'd spent a year with this dentist and didn't mean anything to him. But to me, I felt like you saw me through all this trauma.
And his name is?
I'm not sure now.
All right, stop. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic. All right, here we go. Yeah, everybody in the back, let's see it. Crank up the resistance up out of that saddle. I believe in you. I believe in the mailman. Sing that song, mailman. There he is.
All right. All right. All right. I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Teeny tiny lady, I don't see you there. I don't know where she is, but let's get started with the letter, all the letters, and get to the letter of the day. Here we go. Tom?
Okay, we're talking about the police use of force. There was another incident last night. Police use of force, area code 253 says 21 feet, John. It's called the 21-foot rule.
Ah, that's right. That's the distance the guy can close on you with a knife. 360, please, Tom, you should consider what the police go through on a daily basis, all right?
And area code 206, if you look at the success rate of less lethal tools against an aggressive or chemically influenced person, you will see they tend to work about 25% of the time. It's entirely different from a demonstration with a willing participant, and things happen fast. You have a split second to decide. Go try it yourself in a force-on-force class sometime, then make a judgment.
All right, force-on-force. Sports viewership, 425, says, I still like baseball and football. Screw those adolescents.
And Erica 206, Matisse is awesome.
That's right. Let's see. I used to work at John Howie Sports. Yeah, that's right. When they announced the Sonics were going to Sacramento, we were inundated with prank calls from Sacramento area. My response was always, well, you still live in Sacramento, so...
The Sonics didn't go to Sacramento. We tried to steal the Sacramento team for us up here. Our team went to Oklahoma City, but still, that's point right. taken. Yeah. On the carp business, 425 writes in, I hate carp.
Nah, I'm, carp tastes like crap, ha ha ha. And carp,
no, tastes like carp.
carp, huh? And then carp, also known as goldfish. Mm, and then finally, 425, carp, just like halibut, bottom feeders. Eating the garbage.
253, Coyer in the carp family. Who wants to eat their pets?
Gee whiz. Finally, moving on to Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, Curly, you didn't listen to Rush because you came in at the same time as the Tom and Curly years. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were on the same time, yeah. And when Bill Clinton had his heart problems, this is from area code 206, Rush said awful things about him. I'm not one to say bad things about someone who just died, but it is strange how someone like Rush apparently can do such nice things for some while also doing and saying monstrous things.
360 says, Tom, the reason you have a radio talk show is because of Rush. Look at the big picture, brah.
And 206. Oh, you know, actually, we got a late arriving thing about Rush. I think I'd like to read that. Today we learned that Rush Limbaugh passed. I wanted to share a thought I had in regards to radio show hosts. I'm 47 now. And when I was 18, I found myself in the Navy where on special duty, spent a summer digging a trench for miles. I was shoulder to shoulder with my boss, an old SEAL that was waiting for retirement. He listened to nothing but conservative talk radio all day long. After the summer, I found myself listening to talk radio. And throughout the years, I've worked many, many jobs where I worked alone, yet never felt that way. Because of guys like Rush and you folks at Cairo, you all have more of an impact back than you realize. Godspeed, Rush, and keep going, guys. You are appreciated. Thanks, wow. Jay.
She's now going to choose a letter that has a little more gravitas to it. Now. Let's see. Moving on to diamonds and getting married. It's funny. When you talk to a friend or somebody that's going to get married and they're telling you they are not going to buy rings, they're just going to buy some rubber cheap rings and they wear them now, it's almost like, you know, what, bruh, you just don't have a job? L-O-L.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
It's the letter of the day comes from area code 253. Okay. I'm the Uptown Girl PTSD guy. If I sing that horrid song on the air, will you guys get Rachel a different song? Let me know. Ooh, drives a hard bargain.
If that person comes on the air, if they come on and they have to come in studio and sing it, then,
Double masked in studio. Area code 253. You're on.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Been riding no
that's
more.
Been really riding painful no more. Radio. But apparently we make differences in people's lives.
Yes, and appreciate it. Thanks, Jay.